So in the same way that fathers are concerned for the purity of their children, especially for their daughters, I mean, you know, Paul was felt the same way about the spiritual purity of the church. And this is important. This is not just my preference and your preference. This is critical. Let's look at 2 Corinthians starting at chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Paul would agonize. And there's literally a passage in Scripture where he used the word in the Greek agon, which is the word we get agonized from. Paul agonized over this issue. It kept him up at night praying for these folks. Just as sometimes a good dad will be kept awake at night praying for his kids. God, I don't know what to do. Help them. Give grace. Give wisdom. This is over my head. Paul was also concerned about the spiritual purity of his church. This is what he wrote to the Corinthians. He said, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly." Because he was kind of, you know, taking him to account a little bit. "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. Indeed, you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, just as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, some other kind of Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive some different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you've not accepted, you may well put up with it. You may let him in the door, roll out the red carpet for it." He was concerned because they were playing loose with the things of God, with the truth, and allowing the enemy to just fill their heads and their hearts with lies and deceptions. Destructive, what he terms as destructive, damnable heresies that are from the pit of hell because they are not the truth and they distort what is the truth that God gave us so that we can know him and build our lives on him. Paul was concerned about the purity and the integrity of the church because he knew that Satan would try to seduce them into believing in some other Jesus, some other spirit, some other gospel. And you see this all the time. And let me tell you, any other Jesus, any other spirit, any other gospel is a lie from hell. They cart them out every Christmas and Easter. You see them on, you see it in Newsweek. You see it on the History Channel. And they say, the real Jesus. Let me tell you about what we've discovered about the real Jesus. Every time you see the words real Jesus, trust me, after all my research, it's the false Jesus. It is never a balanced presentation. It's so lopsided and one-sided, it's not even funny. They never have conservative scholars to show the truth and all the holes that are like a colander in their presentation to show how that leaks water like a sieve. So when you hear these things, somebody puts out a new book, The Real Jesus, you know, The Real Gospel. If they have to use the word real, it's because they have to get past your defenses. It's not the real deal. It is not the real spirit. It is not the real gospel. Our culture abounds with false Jesuses. And I feel like every 6 months to a year, I have to drag out some defense of the gospel to say why all the stuff they're saying about Jesus is just a bunch of vapor. And I have to stop what I'm doing to do the research, to show and make the presentation. Our culture abounds with spiritual novelties that are not the Holy Spirit. All kinds of ways to act spiritual and do spiritual and get involved and engrossed in spiritual things that do not involve the Holy Spirit. That is another spirit. Our culture abounds with false gospels. I mean, they're trotting out these Gnostic gospels like they're the latest, greatest thing. Those things were written 200 to 300 years after the real gospels were written. They were written by men who were not accepted by the church, and we have all of the Gospels and the writings of the early church fathers for the first 300 years before this stuff even came out. We know if they destroyed every Bible on planet Earth, we would still have the Bible, the New Testament, and the writings of the early church fathers who wrote from the time of Jesus for the first 300 years. We know what the Gospels were because we have that they are quoted to that degree by the church fathers. It's no mystery. This Gospel of Judas that they're trotting out here did not exist until 200 or 300 years later. This Gospel of Thomas, which if you read about it, has a talking cross walking out of the tombs and all this kind of stuff. It, you know, this is nonsense. These Gospels had been accepted since the time of they were written. So anyway, it's imperative. Paul said it's imperative that we have that zeal for spiritual purity and integrity in our church. It's also imperative that as fathers we have the same zeal, the same fire for the spiritual purity of our children and the spiritual integrity of our children, because there's a lot of seducing spirits out there, and we're not always going to be able to follow them around to look at every magazine they read or every book they pick up or every program they watch or every place they go to, building or organization they go to. At some point, we just got to trust them to the things that we've instilled in them. But we ought to be zealous, just like Paul was jealous for them with godly jealousy, that we train them and nurture them and establish them so they won't be seduced by these other things. We want them to have a solid life standing on the rock of Christ. All right, one more. One more parallel. We were talking about the church at Corinth. There's also a church at Thessalonica. Paul had the same kind of relationship with them. Actually, there's a whole lot more I can't even cover in here because, you know, the thing that I wrote for Moody was like 14 pages long, and we just don't have that kind of time today. But if you want a copy of my term paper, I'll be glad to copy it for you. Even his little nasty comments on there. 97. Yeah. Huh? Okay. He took off a point because I didn't list what I was going to talk about in the beginning of the first page. And he also took off 2 points because I was only supposed to be 10 pages and I went 14 pages. So, and I didn't alphabetize my bibliography. Anyway. Who cares? Anyway. Paul had the same relationship to all the churches, but he's reflected in when he wrote to the guys down at Thessalonica. And these guys went through some stuff, man. He actually had to flee this place at one point. He said to them, as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. Isn't that interesting? That's how he saw them. Exhorted, comforted, and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. There's going to be days when our children get just a little bit weary and discouraged. You ever have days where your kids just get discouraged and your heart breaks for them? You just want to take that thing off of their shoulders, and they're so beat down, and they've lost so much hope, and they just don't know how they're going to go on. They've lost hope. They don't have that vision anymore. And they need that exhortation. They need that motivation. This word literally means to come alongside of them, to just get under them and bear them up and lift them up when they don't have the strength to stand up and get back up on their own, to come alongside and put their arm around your shoulder and lift them up spiritually and emotionally and stir that fire of zeal back in their heart, kindle that thing afresh and get that flame burning again and help them get a sense of hope and a sense of purpose and a sense that, yeah, I can do this. Actually, yeah, I might have slipped. I might have gotten dusty and dirty, but I'm brushing myself off. I can go on. I am gonna see this through, and God is gonna give me the victory. My Father is faithful. He didn't call me to defeat. He called me to victory. He said, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And we need to impart that to our children, because sometimes they just get discouraged. And that is like water to a man in the desert. It's so refreshing, man. It just gives you life inside. So we need to exhort them and cast a fresh vision for them. But there's going to be other days when our kids get a little beat up. Sometimes they might literally get beat up. I don't know. I never got beat up. I could run pretty good. I did beat somebody else once, but I felt so bad afterwards. Man, I mean, like for weeks, I felt so guilty. I was like, I really hurt that guy. It was not.